in with an open heart and an open mind and saying, Mom, Dad, Auntie, Uncle, Grandma, whoever that person is, like, hey, what are your thoughts on this particular issue? What are your thoughts about what's going on in the world, what's going on in the government? Hey, what are your thoughts about this thing that happened to my friend at school? Because what happens, this is an opportunity to talk about truth, consequences, how when a child or a teenager or a young adult, whatever, you know, we always need our parents. I ask my mom's opinion about stuff. I'm 43 years old. I still want to know what my mom has to say. It's an opportunity to talk about the far-reaching effects of sometimes our opinions, our thoughts and desires, how it affects other people. Because how many people know sometimes our worldview is super small? Come on, it's your county. Listen, I love York County. I'm called here. I'm fighting for like revival. I see great things. I love York. Why? Because I'm called to be here. You better love where you're called. If you're not for me, you're against me. I'm for York, right? But how many people know sometimes our worlds get small? Sometimes we forget to pray or think or talk to God about anything outside of our us four, no more best friends. You know, the only people we do the Bible study with, the only people we volunteer with, you know, are the only people in our neighborhood. Our worlds get small. And God's so big. And when we start talking about and saying, Lord, what do you want to talk about? Who and what's on your heart? This is a moment of teaching. This is a moment when we see things from God's perspective. And this is a moment with God where we not only learn together, we grow together. The Bible says, and this is where prayer, I'm telling you, we miss it sometimes. Sometimes we think we can just like, if we give enough scripture and say that scripture 1,000 times, he's just going to give us what we want. You know, I'll just, you know, you got to do it now. I'm in faith. You know, there's a two-way conversation, y'all, because sometimes we're in faith for things that don't align with the heart of God for the greater picture. So this is why, remember, we're talking to a parent with an open heart and an open mind, not a debate. But God, this is what I want. He said, ask me what I want. Ask me how I see that person. You want them fired and out. Ask me how I see that person that you're working with that drives you nuts. Ask me what your plan is for their life. My plan is for the life. You know what I mean. All right, so God, the Bible says God is a good father. Matthew 7, 9 through 11, New Living Translation says, you fathers, talking to us natural parents, okay, fathers, mothers, grandmas, whoever, you know, your guardian is. How many people know that we've had different people in different roles that play that part of wisdom and guidance in our life? So you parents or you fathers, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, asking for breakfast, do you give them a stone to break their tooth? No, that's nasty. That's evil, right? It says, or if they ask for a fish, they're asking for, you know, can we go to, you know, Burger King? Do you give them a snake? Do you give something that's going to harm them? No, of course not. You're asking for a good thing. I'm going to give you a good thing. So if you sinful people, that just means the brokenness of this world. How many people know we do our best, but sometimes we stink? Anybody had to do some apologizing this week? I apologized to my spouse several times this week for being a jerk. You know, come on, guys. We're like humans. We mess up, okay? So it says, you sinful people, you people that are imperfect, okay, but you have good hearts, right, for your kids. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father want to also give good gifts to those who, ready, ask him. It's all about the conversation. The Bible is meant to be interpreted through the lens, not only of community, that's what church is. People think they're asking for something that only affects them. It's like, how does that affect your entire church? How does your agenda that you're asking God to allow you to do affect your entire church community, your neighborhood, your workplace environment? The Bible is also meant to be interpreted through the lens of what? Healthy family relationships. Why is God always referring to people as what? The children of God. Our brothers and sisters. The Word of God is meant to be interpreted through healthy family dynamics and intimate, loving, unconditional communication. So, you know, when your kid asked to drive the car and then they took the car anyway and, you know, smashed it. Or like I told that story about my sister. She asked to borrow the car for milk from my other sister and ended up in another state, gone for like 4 days. You know, hey, let's talk about that. How did that affect your relationship, you know? Family dynamics, right? They worked it out, unconditionally love each other. When we have a close, intimate relationship with God, I'll tell you, we don't have to jump through hoops of formalized religious prayers. I don't have to quote 50,000 scriptures and be, oh God. Now listen, I would say that I get on my knees as a way to just get my brain to shut up sometimes. Sometimes you physically have to do something to get your brain to shut up. Anybody else's brain rolling at 5:30 this morning? Oh my gosh, I laid there. I was like, it was good things. It wasn't bad things. I was like excited about stuff. Okay, sometimes I do something physically to just adjust my heart and mind to a place of, I am yours, Lord. I receive from you. Okay. There is something about this informal way of talking to a father with love and honor and respect, right? We talked about dynamics of, you know you have an unconditional, loving, healthy relationship with your parent or guardian, you go through the front door, hey, mom, I'm home. Jump on the couch, what? Raid the fridge, eat the fried chicken, kick up your feet, and ask all the questions. Talk about your day. This is this open communication. And in that, we ask for help. How many people know we always need help from our parents, no matter how old we are? If not, it's probably pride talking. Deal with it, okay? We're asking for wisdom, counsel, protection, permission, provision, these different things. And like I said, if you didn't have this type of healthy relationship, ask God and he'll give you a really healthy person to represent it in your life. I had a lovely mentor in my life. She was like an auntie to me. Her name was Joanne. She's in heaven now. And I got to ask all my questions. I just sit beside her. We'd run errands together. We just run errands together and go to lunch, and it was just this open communication of the heart of God. And we just sometimes, in that deep relationship, we start to know that person's heart. It's not always asking for permission, because the permission's all about me, right? We start going, hey, what's your heart? What's on your mind? We start asking bigger questions of like, God, instead of can I do this? Hey, what's your will for my life? How do you want to use me? How do you see this? How do you see this situation that my heart's drawn to? So our challenge that I ended off on my last time I spoke to 2 weeks ago was this: we got to ask bigger. We got to think bigger outside of our us four, no more little worlds, and start thinking about the kingdom of God, God's will, God's reign, God's heart for people, for our nation, for our community, for our neighborhood. We're going to go bigger. We're going to go greater. We're going to start praying the prayers that Jesus prayed. They're bold prayers. They're scary prayers. They're wild prayers. So Jesus left us some vital keys, to the kingdom of God, these prayer strategies. I've preached about some in the past. But the number one thing we always have to remember is to get a very healthy mindset of a son and a daughter of the King of the universe. I'm good. God and I are good. Why? I am right with God because of what? My faith in Jesus. Not because I'm the perfect little kid. I probably smashed the car and did something stupid and said a word, and he still loves me. I repented. I talked about it with him, and I'm changing my ways. I'm not going to go take the car on a joyride again, you know? Sometimes we take our lives on a joyride and just make a wreck of it. Woo! He still loves us, but don't do that again. All right, so we have a healthy mindset of being the son and the daughter of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, okay? We start talking about we are called to be a representative of him, an ambassador of him. And we are representing the kingdom of God, God's reign on earth. What is the kingdom of God? God's government rule on earth through us. What does God want to do to bring his kingdom to earth through our lives? We represent him. The first purpose of an ambassador, quick review. So number one, walk intimately, closely with God. That's the number one thing you were created to do. Adam and Eve were created to walk with him daily in the garden and ask questions like a little kid. What is it? Adam named the animals with God. Hey, God, that giraffe's like weird. It's got a black tongue. What were you thinking about? All right, cool. What should we name it? Giraffe? All right, let's do it. It was doing life with God. Number two is to administrate the kingdom of God on earth. What does that mean? What does God want to do on this earth? What does God want to do in your neighborhood? What does God want to do in your marriage? What does God want to do in your workplace with your boss, with your team member that all they do is gossip and slander and you know they're like out for your job? What, God, what is your will? What do you want to do? How do you see this? And through prayer and prayer in action, because sometimes he just says pray, and then sometimes he says, you go take that person out to lunch. We then bring the kingdom of God from heaven to earth, and we start releasing what? Healing, freedom, love, joy, peace, what? Provision. We can pray for God to provide a need, but how many people know God's going to say, what's in your pocket right now? And I got 40 bucks, and God says, now go give it. We're releasing the kingdom of God. So in this series, we've talked about being bold, being shameless on how we ask God big wild things. Why? Kids have that healthy relationship where they can ask God, hey, can I have a pony for Christmas? Well, I don't know if we're going to get a pony. But you know what? Let's talk about some things, right? The big ask. I want to develop some things I wasn't able to complete. So we are talking about famous scripture, John 14:13-14, right? All right. And that in that scripture, sometimes we wonder what we're, when God says ask, we wonder what are we able to ask for? Big things, small things, like what is in this vast spectrum of whatever I can ask for? And scripture brings clarity. So John 14:13-14, Jesus taught his disciples, whatever you ask in my name, this will I do. Feels like a blank check. Whew, makes you nervous. What the Father, ready for this? Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified. This is something we miss. We're going to really develop this today. Whatever I ask is to do what? Glorify the Father. That's where we drop the ball on this scripture. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What? So the Father will be glorified. We're talking about the ways of God today. The heart of God today. What brings him joy? What brings him honor? What makes him smile? I remember one time my mom for Christmas, she would tell this story of her her father had these gloves. They were these leather gloves and it had rabbit fur inside. And my mom didn't have a lot of sentimental stories with her dad, you know, but I'll tell you, I never forgot this one. And I didn't have a lot of money. I think I was a teen. I don't know. And I went to, TJ Maxx looking for a good deal. And I saw gloves with rabbit fur on the inside, probably for like $14.99. That was like all my babysitting money for the month, you know. And I remember wrapping those up and giving them to my mom and watching and just like, my mom had an emotional moment. My mom's not like a super like, you know, woo, you know. But she just had this moment because I honored her because I listened to her. And it wasn't that she needed gloves with rabbit fur inside. But it made her smile and her eyes well up because she was heard and valued and honored. Don't you just love those moments? You know, it's not about the gift, right? Like, we're big homemade gift. Brad and I make cards. We'll go out to dinner. We're not big, like, gift people for the holidays. But we're always trying to find the special thing for our parent because they've given so much for us. And, like, Brad one time nailed it. And that's another story with his mom. Like, I was like, Brad, we're never going to be able to beat. We will never beat that. It was just a sentimental thing, an old story from her past of the day she met her husband. And Brad found the jacket she was wearing that day in the package that had never been worn. And it wasn't an expensive thing. What are we talking about today? I want to make God smile because I listened to him. Oh, my kid gets me. That's a mature relationship, right, y'all? You know, when you watch your kid grow up, maybe they're a young adult now, and all of a sudden they go do something, and they're like, oh, they got my heart. That's my kid. So what are we talking about when we ask? It's the big ask. Okay, asking is our part. We are required to ask. God wants us to ask wild questions. He wants us to talk about everything, not go Google it or search it. I hear that's what the young people say. All right? The asking is our part. The doing is God's part. And that frees us from the worry of asking for wrong things. Why? Because he is just so glad we're having this conversation with an open heart and an open mind. Not like this. You know, sometimes I've heard people come to a very ridiculous conclusion, and I'm not making fun. I'm just being honest. They're so afraid to ask for the wrong thing that they don't pray about it at all. I say this, don't worry about it. He wants us to talk to him. Even if you're asking for the wrong thing, guess what? We're in the process of heart adjustment at that point. And listen, don't worry about it because God is only obligated to perform his will. What is the will of God? His word. How do we get to know the heart of God? His word. You spend enough time with your parent, you start to get their heart. Oh man, and those are the deepest conversations when we're actually what? Listening and learning and growing together. You know, God's really just more concerned about what our relationship with him and the condition of our heart with him, right? We're not wanting our way. We're in an open conversation with him. God, I want to move here. Where do you want me to go? God, this is the job I want. Where do you want me to work? What if he says stay put? What if he says apply for something? That is going to take me 2 hours to apply online. Oh my goodness. And I'm not even qualified for it. I don't have the little degree that they're talking about. I don't want to waste my time. God's like, I want you to apply. Watch me do something wild. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living, active, and full of power, making it energizing, effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, penetrating as far as the division of our soul. Your soul is what? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay, ladies, whoa. Our emotions make us nuts. I had a nuts moment this week. I was like, baby, that's the hormones talking. I'm acting crazy right now. I don't even know what I said. You ever have a moment you say something, you don't even know what you said, but you know it was the wrong thing, right? You don't know in the moment because your emotions feel so real. That's how I feel, but they're not good, and they're lying to you. And then you get in the word, and then God just what? Through the power of his word goes, oh, hey, that hurt. That hurt your husband. That hurt your kid. That hurt your coworker. Now go apologize for it. It's the word that pierces our reasons, our emotions, our pride. Why are you fighting this so hard? Why are you trying to control this? God's like, oh, because your identity's in that little thing. Oh, because that messed with your pride. Or you're thinking it's all about you, and it's not. And we only get that revelation through what? Just sitting in the word. And just letting it sit. You know, you ever have a conversation and parent just says, my husband's a man of, I'm a rambler. I don't know, they give me a microphone because I just ramble and eventually get to the point. My husband, like marriage group, like he's quiet and then he just says something that's so profound and wise and just like drop the mic and I was like, I can't even add to that. And you're like, God, but this. And he's like, I already told you. Go back, if you want breakthrough in your life, go back and do the last thing God told you to do and stop complicating it. All right, so what? The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides, it penetrates what's your mind, your will, your emotions, and what is the Spirit of God saying to you? Both the joints and the marrow. What is this? This is like a surgery. You know, those surgeons that can just take apart something and put it all back together? God is like that surgeon of defining what motives, things that you didn't even know were deep down in your heart. How many people know trauma can mess with you? Trauma can kind of warp your brain. And listen, God is the healer. And he'll say, hey, how you reacted, that's just out of some trauma. I'm going to heal it. But this is my heart for you. And this is how I see this. And I got you. He'll reveal it through his word. And whatever the light reveals, what? It heals. Don't be afraid of the word of God. Yeah, it's going to open up some things in your life. It's going to reveal some selfishness. It's going to reveal your pride. It's going to reveal your insecurities. You know, I'll tell you what, I started getting bold when Satan started messing with my family. You mess with my family. You know, it's like, oh, you mess with my family. Come on, you mess with me. All right. I can take a hit. You mess with my family. Let's go. I got over a lot of my insecurities because I realized it wasn't about me anymore because my prayers got bigger. And it says what this, it will expose the deepest parts of our nature. Exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of our heart. God, but you know what? Like I said, you don't have to be afraid of that. Why? Because he is a loving father. And he's like, hey, you're praying for something, but my word clearly says that that's sin. And not only is it going to hurt you, it's going to hurt how you represent me. And it's going to just shut down your voice to the community. But I know you want that, but let me let you see bigger. Oh, but doesn't... Yeah, God talks about hard things. God calls sin, sin. But it doesn't feel good. You know what? Wise counsel from your parent doesn't always feel good, but it saves you, right? All right. So the more time we spend meditating in the Word of God and His will, He will start to, He'll just start to bubble up and show you the motives of your heart. No, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. Because that person's on there. And God's like, that's called unforgiveness. I'm not volunteering on the team. They drive me nuts. You got to work on patience. Okay. God, I'm unqualified. No, you're just insecure. Good thing it's not about you anyway. Because I used all the unqualified people in the Bible. That means you're qualified. Because I'll get all the glory. These are the conversations He answers through our word. I get really concerned, and I've had this. There was a particular young adult. They're like, Pastor Cher, I was like, how you doing? You know, how are you and Jesus doing? You know, what's going on? Oh, I pray all the time. I talk to Jesus all the time. I said, oh, that's good. That's good. I said, so where are you reading your Bible? Oh, I'm not into reading. Hear that a lot these days. I said, you know, the good thing, the Bible has a play button now, and you can just play it all day long. No, I'm just like, really, I don't really understand it. I say, have you spent time listening? God will heal your brain. I literally have seen people with learning disabilities be supernaturally healed. God, what, mom, God healed your brain from dyslexia. She's the most voracious reader you've ever met. Stacks upon books. Because in the process of reading the word, God rewired. I've met people that like had literal learning disabilities and they were stumbling through the word and like sounding out the words. These are high school students. You know, we sometimes live in a broken education system. And they're like, Pastor Cher, I'm really struggling, but I'm reading it. And they sounded like a grade schooler trying to read it. And I'll tell you, a couple months later, I remember somebody coming to me and go, God's healed my mind. The word. So talking to God, okay, that's good. But sometimes we're not discerning what He's saying back because sometimes we only hear what we want to hear. You have a relationship with someone and it's like you're talking and they're talking and all they're hearing are their opinions the whole time and they walk away thinking you agree with them. The word is the most clear, definitive thing on the will of God, the heart of God, the ways of God. God would rather us ask. Just start asking, but what? Go to the word and search those things out in scripture. You know, in legal cases, it's very easy to take the law, and you can have two different people that are researching scripture into two opposing corners. But you read it in context, right? Come on, everybody, what? Read it in context. Read the whole chapter. Read the whole book, and we'll start getting what clarity to the ways and to the heart of God, and not just taking one scripture out of context to drive our point, to win the debate, to push our agenda. And God says, hey, I know that's your agenda, and you're saying that's who I am, but that's like 10% of my heart, and you're making it 100%, and you're driving that so far home, you're pushing everybody away. Read it in context. All right. In the process of the asking, He will adjust our hearts. You ever had that? Those moments, there's things I want to do, opinions that I think I have, and then I just start reading and asking questions and praying, and all of a sudden my heart softens. Like maybe you're angry about something going on in our nation or a certain people group, and it's sin, and they're just destroying America. And then you start shutting up for a second. And go, but God, how do you see them? What's your heart for them? I love them and I died for them and they don't know what they're doing. They're lost and they're searching. Would you love them the way I love them? I can tell when people pray for a certain people group with the heart of God because there is so much love and compassion. I can tell when I pray with someone with an agenda. It's finger pointing, an agenda. It is heartbreaking to be around that. God will soften your heart to pray His heart. The way Jesus ministered is not represented very well in the church, is it? And the process of the asking and the waiting and the just letting His word sit in your heart and asking questions, He will adjust your ask. You ever notice that? He'll start changing what you're asking for, the way you're asking, the way you're seeing people. We start to become more like Him. God draws us to Himself in the process of the asking. And when our asking aligns with what His will, which is His word in context, when those powers combine, Captain Planet, whatever, when those powers combine, the Lord is moving and releasing things on the earth. Amen? Faith. Faith begins when the will of God is known. A really smarter pastor said that, and I don't remember who it was, but it branded my heart. Faith begins when the will of God is known. Write it down. Faith begins when the will of God is known. God is not moved by your will. How many of you, I know I want things for me because it's good for me. But I'm not thinking what I want, how it affects other people around me. Or can I handle what I want right now? I might be able to handle it in 10 years with my character. Faith begins when the will of God is known. He is not moved by your will. He is not moved by your emotions. So you don't have to jump, shout, scream, do backflips and, you know, wild dances and whatever and flags and banners and shofars to get God's attention. He doesn't need a show. That's the prophets of Baal. Faith begins when the will of God is known. It is not moved by your will. It's not moved by your emotions. It is not moved by your need. If God was moved by needs, we would never have any more needs. They'd all be met, right? God is moved by our faith. That's where we left off last time. I didn't get to do like my three sentences, so I'm going to like throw them in there. We're going to move on, okay? We taught Mark 10, 46 through 58. Sorry, 46 through 54. And it was a story of blind Bartimaeus, remember? He had needs. He had emotions. This poor man of God, blind, spending his whole life begging, being trampled upon, looked down by society. And Jesus, it was obvious his need, right? You didn't have to go up to him and go, hey, what do you need? New shoes? He's blind. Jesus required him to ask. It wasn't a jump through hoop thing. Why? Because in the asking, faith rose up in his heart. Lord, I want my sight. Faith rose up because he realized the will of God. What did he ask? And Jesus said, what? It was your faith that made you whole, healed. There's the ask. We all have needs. We need to talk to him about those needs in faith, knowing the will, knowing his heart. So Matthew 21, verse 22, actually, let me do another one, says this. James 4, 6, it says, you do not have because you don't ask. Sometimes we're like, poor little old me, you know, God doesn't care about these little things in my life. God cares about the little things in your life. God doesn't want you to buy a lemon car, even though it looked really cool. God doesn't want you to do that because really he wants you to be able to give people rides to church and rides to work so you can tell them about Jesus. God cares about what car you need, so talk to him about it. He cares about the little stuff. He cares about the big stuff. He sometimes cares about where you get your hair done. This sounds funny. Girls, how many people have been in the chair with a new person? You're like, oh God, please. You know how hard it is to get to a blonde, right? And yes, I was born blonde, but you know, like I'm telling you, come on, you blondes out there. How many people sprayed in the chair? I'm praying that they don't mess up my hair. But then God goes, how about you pray for your hairstylist? How about you ask them about their family? Okay, so funny. I'm asking maybe a little bit of a selfish thing because, you know, I don't want a brassy blonde, whatever. But God's saying, hey, while you're praying about that, how about you pray about the heart of the person that's doing your hair? Ask them their story. Share your story. See how you can pray. What? Our ass just got bigger because I just talked about a little thing. God cares about the little things and the big things. What? How can it give you glory? I mean, my hair, yeah, it looks good. No. How can it give him glory? There is nothing, I'll tell you, if you ask even selfish questions and God goes, let's get bigger. What's my heart for that person? What's my heart for that situation? How can we go bigger with this? How can we go bigger than that need in my life? How can God get glory out of this wild mess you need help with? You have not because you ask not. Then Matthew 21, 22 Amplified says this, whatever you ask in prayer, having faith and really believing, you'll receive. So you remember my analogy with a football? Okay, God is what? The ultimate quarterback that has what? All the grace football that you need, everything that you need in life, everything that you are not that God has called you to be. Despite all of our weaknesses and inabilities, all of our unqualifications, God's got what you need. And you what? The receiver positions themselves in faith, and God throws it at you, and we receive it by faith. Faith is a receiver. We have to see in our heart. Faith is seeing what we cannot see in the natural. I talk to teens all the time. Faith is your God imagination. How many people know your imagination doesn't always come naturally? I'm naturally distracted. We get naturally distracted by what ifs in the worst case scenario, right? That's not faith. That's fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is Satan's version of it because it gets your imagination to run crazy thoughts. That's where panic attacks and anxiety, and God set me free from that. So what did I have to do? I had to fight the wild what ifs of negativity and fear with, I'm going to see this situation that I, in the natural, I'm scared. I'm afraid. But I'm going to, God, how can you get glorified out of this? I'm going to go big. This is bad. This situation is bad right now. And like my whole life could be destroyed and completely over. I'm done. I've had those moments with God. My life is over as I knew it. Totally destroyed. You'll never do ministry again. I have dealt with that. And then I went, this is a train wreck. This is my whole life just burnt to the ground. And God promises in Isaiah 61, when we pray, give him time, he will resurrect it and make beauty from ashes. I have experienced losses and failures. I have experienced just as much, I'll tell you, failures and losses as I've seen wild, wonderful miracles and victories. I can't explain it all away. I'll call it the mysteries. I'll find out on the other side. But God does call me to have faith. And when I lose something or my life looks destroyed and it looks impossible and I'm holding the ashes in my hand. How many know you can't rebuild a house with ashes? That is impossible. How many people have seen your life burn to the ground with nothing? Ashes. And we cry and we grieve and we mourn. I get it. And then God says, I will make beauty from ashes. I will rebuild from nothing. I will take all the sorrow and all the grief and I'll make something wild because he specializes in resurrections, bringing dead things to life in ways that you can never possibly imagine. It will blow your mind. What? Ephesians 3:20, above and beyond your highest hopes, dreams, and imaginations. So you know what? I think I need a God imagination right now. This is bad, God. This is really bad. It feels impossible. How could you be glorified in this mess? You read the word. How does God get glorified? He'll take a bad story. He'll take something impossible and ugly and he'll turn it around through prayer. Praying in the spirit, praying the deep cries of your heart, and he'll rework it wild. So when something feels impossible, ugly, horrific, I go, but God, how can you be glorified? And then I start having to see it in my heart, and it's not natural. How many people know faith is not like a natural thing? Fear is pretty natural. Why? Because Satan just shoves it out. We also live in a fearful world. Stop. I don't watch doctor shows anymore. Now, listen, I had a favorite doctor show. I'm not going to say it because it didn't glorify God. But all my friends would watch it, you know, back in the day where you couldn't record stuff, you know. But guess what I started having? I found a mole and I had a full-on panic attack. Like full-on panic. And I just realized, I was like, I can't watch this doctor show anymore because everything was like, gonna kill you, you know. Why? Because it was messing with my head. Faith is choosing to see something. God, how can you be glorified? What's your will? What's your way? What's your scripture say? Now I'm gonna see you moving in my marriage. I'm gonna see you resurrecting something. I'm gonna see you moving my life. I'm gonna see you moving my career. I'm gonna see you getting my, I'm gonna see myself in a car that I can actually get out of the parking lot right now. God, you're moving. Start seeing it. Give God something to work with. Faith is seed. I'm going to plant a seed in faith and watch him grow something wild. So get big with your faith. Well, what if I'm in faith for the wrong thing? At least you're talking about it. And he what? Will adjust your ask. He'll make it bigger. He just does. Okay, here we go. Where am I at? I'm having fun. All right. Faith begins where the will of God is known. The will of God is God's written word. And I'll tell you, it becomes more clear the more time we spend meditating and praying through scripture. You want to know the heart of God? Just open up your Bible and start just praying through the scripture. Put your name in there. Put your family's name in there. Apply that scripture to certain situations in your life. And all of a sudden, like the heart of God aligns with what you're praying for. Because what? I'm praying his will. That changed my life when I started praying through scripture. It also kept my head from just getting super distracted. I was never diagnosed with ADD. I just get distracted really easy if there's a single human in the room. So it helps me focus. All right. Psalms 103, verse 7. The New King James, okay? when we spend time in the Word, it's going to reveal not just the history of God, because there are books of what the history of what God has done. The acts of God will also reveal the ways in the heart of God. You want to change, you want some things to change, start praying, God, I want to know your ways. I want to know your heart. Psalms 103 verse 7 said, God revealed his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. The New Living Translation says this, he revealed his character, his heart, the essence of who he was to Moses, and his deeds, what, just the stories, the history, his life's history, to the people of Israel. What was the difference? What was the difference? Let's talk about the heart of Moses. Moses had a really close relationship with God because he really needed God, because he was a big mess up. How many people were a big mess up? I have big messed my life up before, I'll tell you. He messed up his life. He kind of felt called to set people free out of slavery. That's a good thing. It's a God thing, but he took it. He didn't pray about it. He took it in his own hands, out of God's timing, out of God's ways. He went violent. God doesn't do violent to set people free. What? So what do you do? He killed an Egyptian to go free his brother and sister slaves. Okay, probably not quite the right way to do it. All right, and then the consequence happened. And he what? Became an ex-con, convicted, and was in exile, you know, probably with an ankle bracelet on. That's what they had back then, but whatever. He wasn't allowed back in. And he's like, God, I have messed up my life. I thought I was called to set these people free, and I messed it all up. I did it the wrong way, the wrong time. And I got a terrible job right now picking up poop of sheep and just, you know, it was a dirty job back then, shepherding, by the way. That was the dirty job. He needed Jesus. He knew he was unqualified. He knew he was unqualified, but guess what? We are qualified in Christ Jesus, because guess who God is looking for? Mess ups. Look at the disciples. Oh my gosh, Peter, just if he just stopped talking, he'd stop having to apologize, but then God called him to talk. I don't know. What? It's the process. Talking with him will adjust our talk. Moses knew he messed up, so he stayed grateful and humble and had those conversations with God, two-way conversations. He knew how much he needed God. I'll tell you, you want to know the ways of God? We start talking to God like he's our best friend. Anybody, best friend, spouse, whoever, you know you text everything all day long. Come on, you're under the table at work. Ah, did you see? You took a picture. Oh my gosh, did you see what they're wearing? Ah, like, you know, you see a weird bumper sticker and you're like, take a fit. Come on, your best friend, your spouse should be your best friend, but I'll tell you, your best friend, you're texting all day long. Your random thoughts, your funny things, their, what, your opinions sometimes? Come on. I want to know what they think of me, what they think of this situation. That's your best friend. You talk to him all the time about what? Everything. About whatever. I talk about him whatever. Exodus 33, verse 11 says, inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. That's a big deal. That was not a normal relationship back in the Old Testament. There was this heart in Moses that craved to know the Creator. God, I need you. I need you. And God would talk to him. That's kind of mind-blowing. Face-to-face as God talked to a friend. And he got to know the heart of God, the ways of God. Exodus 13, 17, 19 for the sake of time. Moses asked the Lord, if it is true that you look favorably on me. He's like trying to figure out, God, why do you like me? I don't get it. I'm like a mess up. I have messed up. He even messed up in ministry. He goes, let me know your ways. Let me know your heart. Let me know your character and nature. You say you like me. You say you have favor for me. You want to use me. But how do you see the world? How do you see me? How do you see people? Let me know your ways, so that I can understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. How many people know sometimes people don't enjoy talking to God because they have the wrong view of God? Because they had maybe a worldly parent that was abusive, nasty, always made them feel not good enough, always criticizing, always say, oh, you know, hey, look what I did. Oh, yeah, but you could have done better. And it warped their view of a good, healthy father. Let me know your ways, so I can understand more fully and enjoy your favor and your presence. If you're not enjoying worship, get in the Word and see how God sees you. And oh, you're like, whoa, he doesn't see me as my past, even how I messed up on the drive here. He doesn't see me for the fight I just had. He's just so happy we're hanging out. Oh, he loves me. And he's called me to be like him. And he has given me the grace that I receive by faith, the divine empowerment to live a life free from sin and do what he's called me to do. Suddenly worship's like, yes, I want to go worship because I just leave all my trash and all my inadequacies, insufficiency, I just leave it at his feet. And he sees me as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Whew. I love worship. Let me understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. Verse 17, the Lord replied to Moses, I will need to do what you have asked. The Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you. I like you. I like you and I love you. And I know you by name. And Moses responded, then show me your glorious presence. Can I just hang out? Can I just sit in the car while you run errands and let's just eat ice cream together? I just want to hang out. You ever just not want to talk? Guys are like this. They just want to hang out and not talk and probably eat ice cream. It's awesome. I just want to go for a long drive with you and enjoy your presence of peace, where all the anxiety melts away. And I don't feel God. Do you feel peace? I don't have anxiety attacks right now. That's called peace. Just enjoy it. Go for a drive. Show me your glorious presence. And the Lord replied, I will make all of my goodness pass before you. His presence is so good. And there are so many multifaceted layers to who he is. He will show you through his will, his word, and his presence. And it'll just wash over you. Sometimes life is hard. It stinks. Normally, it just does. Let's be honest. But his goodness, he is good despite it all. And it says, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. And if we get to that, we're going to talk about why that was so significant. Psalms 103, verse 8. So it just talked about, I showed Moses my ways, my heart, not just my history, who I am as a person. And the next verse says this, Psalms 103, verse 8 says, the Lord is compassionate, he is merciful, he is slow to anger, and he is filled with unfailing love. I have people say, God's mad at me. I said, I mean, he hates sin. He gets mad at sin. Like, come on, you smash the car up. God's a little, you know, your parents kind of mad. You joyrided and smashed the car, right? Does he love you any less? You're still his kid. Does he forgive you? Yes. Did we learn from it? Absolutely. We change in our ways? Yes. God's not mad at you. He is full of what? Compassion, mercy, unfailing love. Jesus came to clarify the heart of the Father for the broken world that had evil just poorly represented, right? And God says this, John 14, verse 7, Jesus said, we like what Jesus says, it brings clarity. Jesus said, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him. Let's start all over again. Jesus said, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him and have, you. I think I wrote it wrong. You know him and have seen him. Whatever, I wrote it wrong. Typo. It's up there. Yeah, there we go. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him and have seen him. I think that we quote it wrong. Whatever, okay. No, not. Thank you. I can't even. I'm down to one cup of coffee right now, y'all. Let's get back in. Okay. So let's talk about my son Zeke and my husband Brad. Okay, Jesus is saying, if you want to know my Father, look at me, I'm just like him. Look at me. Okay, so in Maryland, my Brad Green, okay, when he runs into people that know his family, they're like, oh, that's Brad Green. Because Zeke has my nose and toes. That is all he got from me. He has my nose and toes, long little finger toes. But everything else is 100% Brad, his build. And it's so funny when they look at baby pictures and his parents and relatives are like, oh, that thing Zeke does, Brad did that too. Jesus said, if you want to know God the Father, I know it got a little warped in your life through misrepresentation of parents that were kind of ugly to you, but everybody likes Jesus, right? Even Muslims like Jesus, Buddhists like Jesus, Hindus like Jesus. Why? He's like a really great guy. If you want to know the Father, church, if you want to represent him well, let's look like Jesus. Do you know how you look like Jesus? You hang out with him a lot. Jesus, we are called to look and respond like Jesus did. When we pray the prayers that Jesus prayed, releasing love, joy, peace, freedom, provision, not just for myself, so resources can flow to the people around me, to the hurting world, the people. He was captivated by hurting people. It captivated his heart. The more we hang out, the more we do the same works Jesus did. John 14, 11 through 12. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the what? The same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. This is the context of the scripture that says ask anything. He said, now that you know my heart, you know what I'm about, go do what I'm doing. Now, ask. Because the next scripture says this, what Jesus taught his disciples, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. The works of Jesus. And the Father would be glorified. Ask whatever, talk about everything. But what he's really saying is, can you ask what's in my heart? Can you ask for my ways? Can you ask for my will and align your will and your ways to mine and go bigger, go greater in number? Do what I did. Pray what I prayed. Do the big ask. This is the context of this prayer. It's going higher. It's going greater than our small little worlds and our little desires for bigger houses and bigger cars and better boats and more extravagant vacations. And God goes, okay, now how will that give me glory? I'm going to tell everybody how I bought a lemon last time because we didn't talk about it, God. And you got me this really great car. And I'm going to give people rides to church. You know what? There are people that don't have rides to the food bank. I'm going to go bring them to the food bank. God, you know what? I need a bigger house. Okay, well, how am I going to get glory? I'm going to have a grow group. And instead of fitting five little people around my thing, I can do 15 people in my living room. How will he be glorified? Go bigger. It's not about the stuff, is it? I have so much I want to preach. Jurel. Well, I love Jurel. She always gives the biggest, best bear hugs, and she wears the sweetest perfume. And when I hug Jurel, it's like the squishy hug. It lingers. I love it. And it's so full of joy. Like, you just hug her and you just want, like, I don't know, like, it's contagious. And then 15 minutes later, I'm not even in the same room, and I smell like her perfume. I just do. Okay? And the more you get around her, the more you want to be around her. And so what, you go to harvest the blessings, her food bank ministry, and you start doing the stuff that Jurel's doing. The more you hang out with her, the more you catch her heart, her ways, her passion, it's contagious. And the more you want to be like her, and you know who Jurel's like is Jesus. Let's hang out, God. Let's hang out. Let's do stuff together. And we become more like him. God is most glorified when we become most like him. There are many good, godly goals that we have as a Christian, right? We want God glorified. It's really simple, you know. We want to share our story and share Jesus with people. God is glorified. Okay, we want to build strong marriages and have healthy relationships with our kids. And if you don't have that, that's okay. Pray about it. And God will bring healing, restoration, or resurrection. And he'll be glorified. God wants you to have a balanced budget. He will be glorified. Because then you'll be able to have extra to give away to people. There are these godly goals, right? It's in scripture. The ultimate goal is that God is glorified in our lives. And these are the prayers that we are to be praying. And this is the test that we run all of our prayers through. God, I'm going to go big. I'm going to ask about everything. And then this thing I'm asking for, God, how will you be glorified? How will this affect other people? For the kingdom of God. For God's rule, God's way, bringing heaven to earth. Love, joy, peace, healing, freedom, health, provision. Resources to do what we're called to do. For the greater glory. Never underestimate the importance of asking Jesus in his name. This is the second part of it, right? Okay, John 14, 13 through 14, Jesus taught his disciples, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. That the Father would be what? Glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Whatever comes from this Greek word that means whatever. Everything. Ask him about everything. He is more concerned about you asking him than you just going out and doing something and then, you know, you kind of messed it up. Now he's going to jump into the situation and help you clean it up because he's a good dad. So we might as well ask, right? Ask about everything. It's a whatever activity. Constantly be talking to him, constantly praying for him, praying, all right? But what if we ask for something that's against God's heart and nature? I remember in Bible school, and one professor was like, how many people listen to know there's a lot of weird people in church? Do life with people, have friends, go to a grow group, it'll keep you from getting weird. So this professor was a pastor, and he said, I found out there was this one lady in the church that was just praying for a godly Christian husband. I was like, that's a good prayer. God wants you to have a godly Christian husband. And then he found out, I guess somebody was praying with her, found out she was praying for this one lady in the church to die so she could marry her husband. I was like, that's crazy and evil. That's evil. That's evil. I'm telling you, Christians get weird. They take a scripture out of context. And I was like, that is not the heart of God. Okay. Whoa, God is not glorified in that. I'm telling you, I have heard, how many people have prayed with some crazy Christians? Oh my gosh. Ah, yes. All right. All right. Wise, loving parents set boundaries. Parents, if you don't have boundaries, go to Brian and Whitney and Amber's grow group. You need boundaries. Because if you give your kid everything that they want, they're going to be a brat and do damage in this world, and nobody wants to be their roommate. Okay. Wise parents set boundaries for their children, and God did the same thing. He said, okay, ask how I'm going to be glorified. Ask according to my will, which is my word. And ready for this? And this is interesting, and I want to end on this thought. You have to ask in my name. Ask in my name. What does that mean? I just studying this, and I was like, wow, I learned something, okay? Ask my name. To be in someone's name in modern day, what means to come under their ownership. So it's a common thing to say, the house is in my name. The car is in my name. What? My name is on the deed, okay? So to be in someone's name on the base level is to be under their ownership. This belongs to me. In the Bible times, it meant something even more powerful and deep. Someone's name expressed all that they were, okay? The name of God expressed all that God was, the name Yahweh. It means from Exodus 3:14, it says, he who is. And it was held to be so sacred, the name of God, that people wouldn't even say it out loud. This is how sacred the very essence of God was in his name. Isn't it great that Jesus came and he goes, hey, yes, we honor him and he's sacred, but guess what? You can talk to me. You can use my name, Jesus, to access the heart of the Father. So when you come in someone's name, it meant I came under their ownership. I am under the ownership of Jesus Christ. And it also meant this other thing, the next layer of depth. It means to identify with the very essence of their being. To identify with the very essence of their being, of who that person was, who they are, their heart, the essence of who they are. When I use the name of Jesus, I am under his ownership. And now, ready for this? I am aligned with his heart. So if a slave, like I said, this is back, slavery is never okay, but this is back in the ancient world. A slave who was in possession by someone under the name of their owner. They took on the name. They became an extension of their identity of that person. So what is it saying? When you come in someone's name, I am under their ownership. And now I'm identifying with their very essence, their very nature of who they are. Asking something in Jesus' name are not magic words to get what you want. Your agenda. Using his authority of his name to get what you want, to come against something that is bothering you, and it's not what has nothing to do with his heart, his being, his nature, his ownership. Jesus said, you would receive anything that you would what ask in my name. It's not the magic words rubber stamp to get what you want. It actually means you'll receive whatever we ask that what expresses his ownership in our lives. And our desire to be a reflection of his very being. I am asking something in his name that reflects his ownership. I'm asking for what he wants, and I'm reflecting his nature. My motive is love. My motive is restoration. My motive is resurrection. My motive is honor. My motive is justice. What? It's all that he is. And how many people know he is very multifaceted? Oh. So if we come in the name of Jesus, it doesn't just mean we come in Jesus' authority to accomplish what I want. Your agenda. I know, I tell you what, this was revelation to me. I was like, because come on, and sometimes you're like, in Jesus' name, I'm going to get this. In Jesus' name, I'm going to get that. And God's going, whoa, 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 slow down. Let's talk about this. How am I going to be glorified? Is that something I want? Is that my heart? Jesus' heart was for lost, broken people. Jesus' heart was for healing, peace, love, joy, restoration, and justice. There are a lot of different aspects. Study out the aspects of God, and when you throw his name on it, let's make sure it reflects his character and his nature. Matthew 6, 9 through 11, the Lord's Prayer, we know it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. New Living or Passion Translation says, manifest your kingdom realm and cause your very purpose to be fulfilled on the earth just as it is in heaven. If it exists in heaven, it's God's will for the earth. Is there sickness in heaven? Nope. So God wants to release healing, wholeness, peace, unity, love, joy, restoration, provision in the earth. What? Through your prayers and through the actions that you take. So when we come with agenda, it normally just causes division. People are like, ah, Jesus came to divide. I said, oh, when you read the context, I'm telling you, people try to debate me with taking scriptures out of context and wasting my time. Guess what? I don't waste my time. They don't have ears to hear. That scripture division was just dividing what the sheep and the goats. That's just saying, hey, who's following me and who's not? Not to divide churches over my agenda and my little pet thing that I like to do and say, whoa, 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 what are we talking about? The heart of God, what are we praying for? I am under his ownership. I come in alignment. I am aligning with the essence of who he is, his very nature. In conclusion, the guy that wrote this, John, you know, the guy that he kept saying who Jesus loved, I'm like, John, really? He had a revelation to the love of God. He wrote some powerful revelation about the heart of God, the love of God, and forgiveness. So he wrote the Gospel of John, and he wrote this, you know, famous scripture we've been quoting, John 14, 13 through 14. Jesus taught his disciples that whatever you ask in my name, under my ownership, under my authority, aligning with my heart, my nature, who I am, I will do that the Father would be glorified. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, so 60 years later, he wrote the book of John, you know, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelations, right? So he outlived all the other disciples. I want to pay attention to this guy. Like, I mean, they tried to kill him. I think, did they try to boil him alive? Like, they kept trying to kill this guy. I don't know what the deal was, but something of resurrection power was in him, man. I mean, Paul got resurrected a lot, but this guy was like love. This was probably like, I'm sorry, I'm going to say Mark Salmon. He's just like so loving. You get around him, you just feel loved unconditionally. The Apostle John got love. He got Jesus, and he had a revelation of this scripture because what he had, his heart. He came in alignment with the character and nature of Jesus. So he then wrote, 60 years later, a scripture that's just re-hitting it again. Hey, if I didn't talk about enough in the Gospel of John, let me say it again in my kind of final words as I'm wrapping up my life in ministry. 1 John 5, 14 through 15, it says, this is the confidence. That was cool. This is the confidence. Confidence is faith in God, right? Faith is confidence in God. This is the confidence. Confidence is faith, trust in God, that we have towards him. If we ask anything according to his will, he's saying it again. He hears us, and we know that he hears us in whatever we ask. We know that we have the requests that we have asked him. Longest living disciple. Man, he has seen, listen, he watched a bunch of his friends die. I get it. They were a lot of, you know, come on, all the other disciples were like martyred. You know, I get it. He saw victories and losses, but I'll tell you what, he caught the heart of Jesus Christ. And miracles, signs, and wonders were performed through his hands and the church and the people that he discipled and sent out. He saw wild things in his day. I mean, dude, they put him in a pot of oil and tried to boil him and kill him. He saw some cool stuff of God's faithfulness. And he caught a revelation. And this was the life lesson of John that he didn't want to ever forget, and he didn't want you to ever forget. Between these, what, three books that he wrote, and he was pounding this thought as we what opened up, what, two sentences over and over again. I'm going to come under the ownership of Jesus Christ. I'm going to hang out in his presence. I want him to be glorified. And I want to absorb by hanging out with him and his word the very character and nature of who he is. And then my heart aligns with his heart. And my prayers are no longer these selfish prayers for the little things that I want. They're prayers that he gets glorified. How is he glorified? So go spend time reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see what Jesus did. That's his heart. John had trials and adventures. He had extraordinary challenges and accomplishments. But he saw that the word of God, Jesus himself, whom he quoted, was tried and true. And he was faithful to perform his word, his will. But let's catch his heart. Amen? You guys can stand up. How do we build our faith? How do we build this coming under the ownership of God? It is through daily fellowship in his word and praying through those scriptures and having a two-way conversation going, God, this is what I want, or this is what I think. These are my opinions, but what are your thoughts? What are your hearts? What is your will for my marriage, my church, my neighborhood, my community, my nation, my employer, this person that hurt me? Show me your heart. I want to align with your heart. I want to be more like you, and then you are most glorified. And it is the greatest win-win in the universe when in the process of the ask, we become more like him because our ask aligns with his heart. I'm going to say right now, some of you guys are asking for things because it's what you want, and you need to say, God, what do you want? How would you be most glorified in this thing I'm asking for? Or is the thing I'm asking for causing confusion in my life and people around me because it doesn't align with your word? Your scripture's saying the opposite of what I want. Therefore, I surrender it. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to lay it at your feet. My will, my ways, my agenda, what my emotions are holding on to. The thing that I'm angry about, what I've wrapped my own identity in, my agenda, I lay it at your feet. And I say, have your way. I want to know your ways. Be glorified. So I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. You guys can pray it with me. Jesus, be glorified in my life, in my relationship, in my family, in my friendships, in my place of business. Be glorified in the prayers that I pray. Amen. Amen. You are loved. If you'd like to pray with anybody, we're gonna have some leaders at the altar, about five people, ministry directors or grow group leaders. And you are dismissed, and we're gonna continue a deep dive on prayer. Have a great afternoon.